Welcome to the Reset Podcast. I'm Liz Tran, an executive coach to founders and CEOs of fast-growing tech companies, and I attribute my success to my spiritual practices, which are rooted in mindfulness and Zen Buddhism. In this podcast, I combine business advice with spiritual lessons to help you lead a courageous, authentic, and fulfilled life. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. Today's episode is all about how to make friends with fear. So here's a little bit of the backstory of how this topic came up. I just got back from a retreat at the Omega Institute, which is in Rhinebeck, New York. It was with Elizabeth Gilbert, who is the author of Eat, Pray, Love. It's probably what she's best known for, but she's also written a bunch of novels, and she wrote this great book about writing and creativity called Big Magic. I love it. And she was also hosting it with this person named Rob Bell, who I hadn't heard of before. It was really interesting. I normally wouldn't go to this type of retreat. It was pretty wild. I think there were 435 people there just for this workshop. So there are just rows and rows and rows of chairs. And it felt less like the meditation retreats that I've gone on. Those have been more like 20 to 30 people. But anyway, it was this big crowd. And I heard about the topic from a friend of mine. And it's related to some of the stuff I've been thinking about recently for my next book. So I signed up and I was like, what the heck? Why not? I'll go to this thing. I was pretty cynical and skeptical almost the entire time because there was such a high level of hero worship that was happening. I mean, people there were so excited to be in the presence of Elizabeth Gilbert and Rob Bell. I mean, I can't even explain what it was like, but it was kind of like being part of a cult. But anyway, the content itself was actually really good. And I think over the course of 3 days, we heard from them for about 15 hours. It's actually a lot of content that they prepared. And it was surprisingly good. I thought it was great. And it got me thinking about the topic of fear, because it's something that they brought up, something that I have been actively thinking about a lot for myself, and also something that has come up for my clients quite a bit. And as you know, this podcast is me real time working through the things that I'm actually processing in life. The tools that I create are tools that I actually lean on and that my clients later on actually lean on too. So thank you for giving me the motivation to process and distill all my thoughts on fear, which have been kind of bottling up over the past couple of weeks. And I'm just so happy to be talking to all of you about it now. Okay, so what is fear? The dictionary describes fear as an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain, or a threat. So fear is this mechanism that is supposed to prevent us and protect us from getting hurt. And oftentimes it really does help us in that way. So if I'm walking down the street at night by myself and I feel scared, then I take extra precautions to walk behind a group of people or to change streets or even walk under the light more. And I can't tell you how many times I've done that. And I think it has actually really helped and saved me. So that's a threat of physical fear. But what I'm talking about more so in this episode is psychological fear. Not really the fear of physical safety or physical well-being, but the fear of failure, the fear of messing up, the fear of getting something wrong and being disappointed. And so the type of fear that I'm specifically focusing on today is when you really want something and best case scenario, it could turn out great, but worst case scenario could completely break your heart and you'd just be so broken about it. And so you're paralyzed to move forward. You don't actually feel motivated to move toward that thing that you want because the fear of something unpleasant, painful, or destructive happening to you is too strong. Recently, this has been coming up with a few of my clients who have been feeling fear around big upgrades to their business. One example is a client who has raised a lot of money and he's gotten there by being extremely disciplined. Some might even say frugal with spending, very intentional, and spending far less money than other startups who have raised similar amounts. And now is the time for him to actually invest some of that back into the business. And it's really scary for him because if he gets it wrong and those investments don't actually have the return that he's expecting, then all of his worst, deepest fears will be coming true. He has a fear that stems from childhood that if he spends extravagantly in any way, then it could ruin anything. I have another client who is making a big leap to hire a certain executive team member. And as with any hire, it's not 100% guaranteed that this person is going to work out. And she's had some reticence about him, some yellow flags. And while he could be a huge game changer for the business, there's also that fear that what if he doesn't work out? What if this person that I've put so much time, resources, investment into, someone who I'm really trusting to run a big chunk of the business, if this doesn't go as planned, what are we going to do? So you can see how in both those examples, it's about being at a crossroads, being at a moment where you're asked to step up and do something different, something bigger, something courageous, something that deviates from your normal pattern of behavior. And on the one end, there's a ton that could be gained if it works out. And on the other end, there's a lot of pain and disappointment if it doesn't work out. And the same is true in our personal lives too. There are so many examples in my own life I can think of where I was really caught in a tug between fear and hope. There was something that I really wanted for my personal life, but I was so afraid to move forward because I wondered, what if it doesn't work? What if this disappointment just crushes me? 5 years ago, when Dev and I first started dating, we went out to a wine bar and we got a little drunk. And he was telling me about this plane ride where he saw a cargo ship floating in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. And he said, we should do that. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. And we kind of made this drunken agreement with each other to go do it. And the next day when we were actually planning it out, we realized we could go in 2 weeks. And he and I didn't know each other very well, but there was something really magical with him. There was a spark between us, but I didn't really know him that well. And I was so scared because what everyone was saying was, okay, you're going to spend 2 weeks on a cargo ship with no internet, no phone service, no forms of entertainment, very few other people on the ship with you. It's just going to be you and him. And by the end, you're either going to be broken up or you're going to know if it's the real deal. And so again, my fear was coming from this crossroads where that situation that I was fearful of actually held the prospect of two really different things. One, this dream of a soulmate, a person who I could really be with. And on the other end, having that dream be dashed and reality setting in and me realizing on this trip that wasn't him, that we actually weren't compatible. Before we agreed to go on this trip, we had only spent, I think, 4 consecutive hours together on any of our dates. And at the time, I was in a job where I really didn't take vacation. I think that's the only time in my whole life where I've ever taken a 2-week vacation. Oh, I actually took a 2-week vacation when I got married the first time and I went on my honeymoon. But besides then, I'm 38 years old and I actually have literally only taken 2 2-week vacations in my whole life. And this was one of them. You know, the other one was my honeymoon. So it felt like I was making a big investment. And if it didn't work out, I was going to feel really stupid and I was going to be really sad. And I was so scared. I remember talking to my friend on the phone. I was telling her all these reasons why I was so nervous about going on this trip. What if it doesn't work out? What if we find out we don't even like each other? What if I have a horrible time? And she said, if you don't go, you're going to regret it. Even if it doesn't work out, you have to take the chance. Then she started to play out the scenario of what if it does work out? Think of how amazing it's going to be. It's a trip of a lifetime. When else are you going to get to do something like this? And she did this really beautiful thing. I don't even know if she realized it, but she took me out of my fear brain and she dropped me into hope and abundance. She started to paint this really beautiful picture of what could be. And that is actually the work of how to befriend fear. It's not to deny fear. It's not to pretend that fear doesn't exist and to push it down. It doesn't work that way. If you try to ignore fear, it's just going to keep popping up over and over again. The secret is actually to acknowledge it, express it, understand it, and then refocus your attention on the hopeful perspective. So you let fear have a voice. You let it be seen, but then you introduce a whole other way of looking at the situation. And that's what I'm going to teach you how to do now. Okay, so this is kind of the most important thing I learned when I was becoming a coach. And it is that when you are coaching someone and they are experiencing something that upsets them, whether it's fear, anger, sadness, frustration, you have to let them fully explain the situation and you have to play it back to them before you can move on to a solution. It does not help and it is not effective coaching to immediately tell them the answer to the situation and to start giving them solutions. That is only a band-aid. If they are not allowed to fully express those negative emotions, then they will continue to linger in their psyche, no matter how helpful or how right your solutions are. And so think about that for yourself too. When you're feeling these intense thoughts of fear, you can't just push them down. And so the first part of this exercise is to write down all of those fearful thoughts that you're having. Write them all down in your notebook. Be as extensive and as verbose as you need to be. And I will give you a personal example of how I've worked with this framework myself. So as many of you guys know, my book is coming out in a month. I am very excited about the book. And as a result, I've invested in trying to get it out there into the world. And part of that means hiring a new person to help me with marketing, this woman named Nikki, who is amazing. She came on board, I think, 2 months ago. Tessa, who's the designer I work with, has been doing more hours. And so this is sort of more investment in money and resources that I've had to make into this launch. And then recently, I decided that I wanted to explore hiring an external publicist as well. So Penguin Random House has a great publicist who I've been working with, but I thought it might be nice to augment that. And recently, I found someone who can start on pretty late notice. Then I realized that this is going to be an additional outlay of resources. It's going to be a few $1,000s a month, which is a lot, right? And so immediately my fear brain kicked in and I started having all these thoughts like, what if I'm making a bad decision? What if I'm spending my money in the wrong way? What if none of these efforts actually works out? And I think honestly, I was kind of reliving some of what I went through when I started Reset, when I built out the actual physical studio and I invested essentially all of my personal wealth at the time into the space. And then it wound up not being successful and just shutting down during the pandemic. And it took me a year of processing to really grieve that loss of my nest egg of, you know, 12 years of working in the world, of working really late hours, hustling really hard. And so here it's a significantly smaller amount of money, but I think I kind of flashed back to that. And I thought, am I just making the wrong decision over again? And am I getting myself into something that isn't going to pay off and I'm wasting my money? And so then I started spiraling even more, thinking, well, okay, what if the book doesn't do well? So this fear spiral around money and resources turned into an even bigger spiral about all these existential questions about the book that I never even had before. So fear was begetting even more fear. I was in a negative feedback loop. Okay, so then I realized I needed to address what was going on. What were all these thoughts I was having? And I made a list of everything that I'm afraid of. This is my list. Investing in this publicist, this PR firm, could be a huge waste of time and energy. It could be a huge waste of money. It could be annoying, frustrating, or disappointing, especially given how much I'm investing in it. It could be really sad or disappointing. I might have regret about these decisions. And also, this is a risk. It's not guaranteed that the publicity efforts will pay off. PR is notoriously fickle. And I'm also doing it during a really slow period in time when Venus and Mercury are in retrograde and everyone's away for the summer. So then I looked at this list and I did something that I learned at this retreat this weekend. Rob Bell, one of the teachers, said to write down all your fears and you look at them and you just say, okay, and you just treat them as data. Yeah, these things could potentially happen. That is true. Sure. Maybe these things can happen. Could this be a gigantic waste of time and money? Yeah, maybe. Could this make me really sad? Yeah, sure, if it doesn't go well. Might I have regrets if I don't get the outcome that I want? Yeah, that could totally be possible. And then you look at this list and you think, okay, this is just data. It's just something that could happen in one scenario. And then it becomes your responsibility to build out the additional data on the other side. What might happen in a hopeful, successful scenario? So then this brings us to step two of the process. You take every fear point that you just wrote, and then you write the opposite. What if that thing that you're afraid of unfolds, but in the most abundant, perfect, beautiful way possible? So then this is what I wrote. For the fear of this could be a waste of time and energy, I wrote, this could lead to really meaningful connections and fantastic experiences that I wouldn't be able to get otherwise. To the fear that this could be a waste of money, I wrote, this could pay itself back in full in book sales or even future commitments that I don't even know about right now. To the fear that I might be sad or disappointed, what if this makes me really happy? What if it's fun? What if it's joyful? What if it results in a really good outcome? And then finally, to the fear that it's a risk, that it's not guaranteed, I said, I've taken similar risks in the past and they have always worked out. When I've invested in myself, it has always worked out, whether in the short term, medium term, or long term. I think we've all heard this parable. It's an indigenous parable. And it goes something like, you know, there's a grandfather who's teaching his grandson about life. And he says, a fight is going on inside of me. It's a terrible fight. And it's between two wolves. One wolf is the bad wolf. He's evil. He is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, fear, arrogance, guilt, etc., etc. And he says the other wolf is the good wolf. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, kindness, and on and on and on. And the same fight is going on inside of you and inside every other person too. And then the grandson says, well, which wolf wins? And then the grandfather says, the one that you feed. And so that is what we are doing here. Your fear wolf, the one that is scared about the uncertainty and the unknown, it has no trouble feeding itself. We are all naturally conditioned with a negativity bias. Every human being was born with it. We naturally pinpoint the bad things that can happen, and they stick with us so much more than the good things that could be. And so what we need to do is to be intentional about feeding the good wolf, the hopeful wolf. And this exercise gives you the food, the nourishment to build up that hopeful wolf, because we're not naturally thinking about those hopeful thoughts on our own. We're only thinking about the scary parts. Our lizard brains are the ones that are really active. And so when you do this, when you go bullet point by bullet point to counteract the fearful thoughts, then what you're doing is you're feeding your hopeful wolf. You're feeding the wolf of abundance. And so now, as a third and final step, what you do to really cement this process is you write down your best case scenario statement. And this is something I do with every single one of my clients whenever they are wrestling with something that could go in a good direction or in a bad direction. I always make them articulate, what is best case scenario? Imagine that everything goes your way. What does that look like? I really wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask that question because I'm not feeding that hopeful wolf enough. And so now you ask yourself, okay, what does best case scenario look like? You take those bullet points of what you just wrote on the hopeful side of things and you turn them into a statement that you can read to yourself over and over and over again. So mine might say something like, in a best case scenario, this engagement with this PR firm is happy, supportive, enjoyable. I make meaningful connections with people who are excited about the book. And not only does it pay itself back in book sales, but it's also fun. It makes this launch process so much better because not only do I feel supported, but I'm also surprised and delighted by the outcome. And when it comes to the end of this engagement, I have no regrets. And so now I have a statement that I can turn to over and over again. Whenever I feel the fear-based part of me acting up, I have something to give to the hopeful part. I have a way of battling my insecurities. And so that's it. It's actually a very simple process. Step one, you write down all of your fears, be comprehensive. Step two, you counteract each one of those fearful thoughts with a hopeful thought. And then finally, step three, you take all those hopeful thoughts and you formulate them into a best case scenario that you read over and over again whenever you start to feel the fear kicking in. There's this quote that I love from this book called The Big Leap, and it says that fear is excitement without the breath. And what this quote means to me is that fear and excitement are actually really similar, right? The dividing line between a negative feeling and a positive feeling is actually quite thin. They both involve anticipation, potential for the future, something different, something uncertain, something new, something that holds great possibility for happiness and change. But fear is what happens when you don't pause, breathe, and when you aren't intentional about what's happening. You get scared. But then with just a little bit of tweaking, a little bit of breathing, a little bit of thoughtfulness, you transform that fear into excitement and you can exist in this beautiful state of abundance, hope, happiness, and joy. If I have the choice between being scared and being excited, I want to be excited. I don't want to be someone who let myself stay stuck and stay small because I was afraid of being disappointed later on. I was that person for many, many years. I couldn't take a risk on myself. When I was 30 years old, I almost started my own business. My friend, the same friend who gave me that great advice about going on the cargo ship, she made me a website. I picked a company name. I started creating the product and the content. And at the end of the day, I was scared. It freaked me out. I did like one test run with my content and it didn't go super well. And my fear brain took over and basically said, you can't do this. And I totally shut down. Then 4 years later, when I actually started Reset, I actually started a company for real. I was also terrified. I was so scared. And I remember asking myself, what kind of person do I want to be? And I knew that in that moment, I was at a very pivotal crossroads where I was either going to choose the path of being the safe person, the person who doesn't take risks, the person who is afraid, or I was going to choose the path of someone who is courageous, brave, and decides to bet on themselves. So whenever you're feeling fearful, in addition to writing out your fear list, your hope list, and then your best case scenario statement, you can also ask yourself, what kind of person do I want to be? If this action is going to say something about me for all of posterity, if this choice is going to catapult me down one path in the forest and doing the opposite is going to catapult me down the other fork in the road, then which one do you want to choose? Once you master fear, then you can really do anything. And notice that I said it's about mastering fear because you shouldn't ever expect that your fear thoughts are going to go away. That's not how it works. As you can see, I've been making some big bets on myself for the past 4 years that have all paid off in spades. I've been really lucky with how my career has unfolded, and I'm still not less scared than I was 4 years ago or 8 years ago. I still have the same fear, but the heat is off. It feels less existential. It's not world ending. It doesn't color my decisions. The fear doesn't override and make me completely shut down anymore. I've learned how to befriend fear, and I hope you can do the same. So do the exercise. Let me know what you think. And then also come to my book launch party. If you are in New York City, it is at The Strand on July 26th. It's a Tuesday. It's the day after the book comes out. And The Strand, if you haven't been there, is the best and the oldest bookstore in New York City. It is so amazing. It's my favorite place in the whole world, and I'm so thrilled that it's happening there. And then there will be a little open bar food type thing afterwards, still in the planning process. But if you go to the show notes, you can see a link to buy a ticket for the Strand event. You can also see the Strand event details on Instagram. I hope to see you there. And as we always say when we wrap this podcast, I hope you remember to love yourself, listen to yourself, and to say yes to life so that life says yes to you. No fear, only hope. See you all back here in 2 weeks.